Welcome to Tales of Honor Podcast, a podcast dedicated to telling the true stories of the Congressional Medal of Honor. Alrighty, welcome back to another episode of Tales of Honor Podcast. I'm your host, Christoph Ambrosch, as usual. And tonight's episode is going to be episode 47, and it's going to go back to World War II, and we're going to stick to the South Pacific again. I don't really pick these in any sort of order. I try to go as random as possible. This way I don't show any sort of favoritism or anything like that or bias. I just want to go in order, in some order, to get these all done. And just in case you were wondering, it's a little bit of an insider information there. Tonight's episode is going to be Alexander Bonnieman Jr., and it's being brought to you by Sunrise Linens. Look, winter is slowly creeping up on us up here in the Northeast, and Thanksgiving's around the corner. Christmas is, whether we like it or not, folks, Christmas is coming. Although, I still think you're evil if you're playing Christmas music before Thanksgiving. Just want to put that out there. And if you would like your kids to, you know, maybe have some nice clothing on for any sort of family get-together, whether it's Thanksgiving or Christmas, head on over to Sunrise Linens. You can visit their shop at etsy.com/shop/sunriselinens and check out what they got. They have some quality handmade clothing, and it obviously it's right here in the good old US of A. And while you're shopping around there, their new Christmas and holiday lines should be out here soon. So enter TOH25 in the promo code section, and you'll get 25% off your order. Make sure your kids look all spiffy and nice for the holiday season. And while you're checking them out, make sure you follow them on Facebook and Instagram. This is the only true way to know when their new clothing line is going to come out and what's going to be involved with that. Sunrise Linens for nostalgia and wandering. And now, a tale of honor. Alexander Bonnieman Jr. was born on the 2nd of May, 1910, in Atlanta, Georgia. His family moved to Knoxville, Tennessee when he was a baby, and much later, Alexander would go on to attend Princeton University. Here, he studied engineering and played football. However, he dropped out of college after his sophomore year and signed up for the Army Air Corps. Alexander entered flight training in June of 1932, but since he was allegedly buzzing too many control towers, he was washed out of training after 3 months. He went on to work in the coal industry, where his father was the president of a coal company, and then later moved to New Mexico to start a copper mining business. Once World War II was declared, Alexander's company was providing vital material for the war effort, therefore making him exempt from military service. However, he still enlisted in the U.S. Marine Corps and went to recruit training at Marine Corps Recruit Depot at San Diego, California. Alexander sailed to the South Pacific in October of 1942 on board the SS Matsonia and was part of the Battle of Guadalcanal. Here, he was a part of a Marine Pioneer Unit, similar to a combat engineer group, and in February of 1943, Alexander received a battlefield commission as a second lieutenant in recognition of his exceptional leadership during the battle. Between his civilian duties and his experience in the Marine Corps, Alexander's background would prove important in November of 1943 in the Gilbert Islands, and his actions would earn him the Medal of Honor. The citation reads, "For conspicuous gallantry and intrepidity at the risk of his life above and beyond the call of duty as Executive Officer of the 2nd Battalion Shore Party, 8th Marines, 2nd Marine Division, during the assault against enemy Japanese-held Tarawa in the Gilbert Islands, 20 through 22nd November 1943. Acting on his own initiative when assault troops were pinned down at the far end of Patillo Pier by the overwhelming fire of Japanese shore batteries, 1st Lieutenant Bonnieman repeatedly defied the blasting fury of the enemy bombardment to organize and lead the besieged men over the long open pier to the beach, and then, voluntarily obtaining flamethrowers and demolitions, organized his pioneer shore party into assault demolitions and directed the blowing of several hostile installations before the close of D-Day. Determined to effect an opening in the enemy's strongly organized defense line the following day, He voluntarily crawled approximately 40 yards forward of our lines and placed demolitions in the entrance of a large Japanese emplacement as the initial move in his planned attack against the heavily garrisoned bomb-proof installation, which was stubbornly resisting despite the destruction early in the action of a large number of Japanese who had been inflicting heavy casualties on our forces and holding up our advance. Withdrawing only to replenish his ammunition, he led his men in a renewed assault, fearlessly exposing himself to the merciless slash of hostile fire as he stormed the formidable bastion, directed the placement of demolition charges in both entrances, and seized the top of the bomb-proof position, flushing more than 100 of the enemy, who were instantly cut down, and effecting the annihilation of approximately 150 troops inside the emplacement. Assailed by additional Japanese after he had gained his objective, he made a heroic stand on the edge of the structure, defending his strategic position with indomitable determination in the face of the desperate charge and killing three of the enemy before he fell, mortally wounded. By his dauntless fighting spirit, unrelenting aggressiveness, and forceful leadership throughout 3 days of unremitting, violent battle, First Lieutenant Bonnieman had inspired his men to heroic effort, enabling them to beat off the counterattack and break the back of hostile resistance in that sector for an immediate gain of 400 yards with no further casualties to our forces in this zone. He gallantly gave his life for his country. 4 years later, in 1947, Alexander's posthumous Medal of Honor was presented to his 12-year-old daughter by the Secretary of the Navy. Of the 21 Marines with Alexander's assault party, 13 had survived. His remains, however, were deemed non-recovered, and the remains of 35 other Marines were placed in a battlefield cemetery. This location was lost by the end of the war, but was then found in March of 2015. In July of 2015, the 36 bodies were carefully transported to the United States, and on the 27th of August 2015, Alexander's remains were identified and returned to his childhood home of Knoxville, Tennessee. He was interred with his family with full honors at West Knoxville's Berry Highland Memorial Cemetery. And that was a tale of honor. Thank you so much for listening to Tales of Honor podcast. And if you like this podcast, please be sure to leave a nice review, a good rating, and tell a friend, tell your family. You can see more information on Facebook, Instagram, and at talesofhonorpodcast.com. If you have any questions or comments, you can send them to talesofhonorpodcast@gmail.com. And until next time, I'm Christoph Ambrosch. Thanks for listening.